Miss Karen Hardy.
Hi. Good morning and God bless you. Well, first, I'm very thankful to God and to Reverend Allen Weiss and Executive Committee for the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. And what I'd like to share on has to do with God's love and his forgiveness. And when Allen Weiss asked me first, Reverend Weiss asked me to share, I was working compassion and I came across an account in the Bible in Luke about the forgiving father. And that's what really got me going into forgiveness. And the first place I'd like to turn to is in Psalm 103. When I first got into the Word, I was looking for God's forgiveness. I was an atheist. I went through spiritualism. I thought about suicide. I hated myself. I really did. I hated everything about my life. And when I finally started to look for God, and I wanted to know that I was going to go to heaven, that was my real big question, because I thought I was going to go the other place. I started going to churches, and I thought I had to get dunked. I had to chant. I had to do one thing after the next to get God's forgiveness. And you know what? I didn't get any answers. When I spoke in tongues in Power for Abundant Living, I knew that God had totally cleaned away all the old baggage in my life, that he had made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, and that I could walk with his power. So let's get to Psalm here. And I want to read to you some verses about God's love and his forgiveness. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And in Psalm 103, when you get to read it, that mercy is used a lot in here. You see a lot about God's forgiveness in here. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him, or that fear is to reverence, to honor him. Verse 12, and this is something a verse we're all familiar with. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that honor or reverence him. And that's not pity, like, you know, he feels sorry for you. See, God loves us and he really wants us to have the best. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that honor and reverence him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Verse 18, to such as keep his commandment, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And I really needed that forgiveness today. You know, I took Power for Abundant Living in 1977, and I graduated from the Wake Corps. I've been a while twice, and for some reason, I still find myself blowing it. I haven't reached that level of perfection where I can say, okay, Chuck, God's forgiveness. I really don't need it. But every single day, see, I need it. I still find myself in positions where I need God's forgiveness. And within the family, you know, where we have to be forgiving with one another. I'd like you to turn to Luke 15, and we're going to look at the forgiveness of God in the parable of the forgiving father. And it's really neat because in forgiveness, God doesn't require you to go through the ringer to get his forgiveness. See, he knows we're dust. He remembers. We have this thing called the old man nature that likes to creep up every so often and, you know, get us off the right track. And God wants us to get back on. He doesn't want to sit here and say, okay, well, let me see, maybe I should give you 10 years in purgatory, or I should go and do, you know, you have to crawl on your knees and maybe I'll forgive you. God wants you to get right back in line so that you can have the more abundant life, so that you can have that sweet fellowship with him, so that your lives can be absolutely, totally blessed. In Luke 15, verse 11, we're going to see the requirements for forgiveness. And they're really simple. First, God requires that you have genuine sorrow. And that doesn't mean condemnation. That means you have a desire to go back, to get right back on track. And then two, that you ask him. And it's that simple. And then God's response is always, his forgiveness is easy and it's quick. So let's start in verse 11. We're going to see this. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, this son is really in a predicament, because in the East, I mean, socially, that was about as low on the social scale as you could go. And then it was unthinkable. Any normal, sane person would have never thought about eating the food the pigs ate. I mean, he was identified as one of them. So he really had fallen on hard times here. And then in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, he's going to go and tell his father that he's sorry. He realized he sinned before God and he sinned before his father. And he's going to make that decision. See, God can't, when we blow it, God can't make us come to him. See, this it's great we have a family and we have the word to show us where we're wrong. Then we can make the decision by our free will that we want to get back in alignment and harmony with God, get his forgiveness, and be able to move on with the greatness of God's word in our lives. So here this son is, he's going to go to his father and ask for his forgiveness. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now this is really, I mean, this is always so tender. I mean, it's almost like grab the hanky time, because this father was looking for a son. He didn't wait till he showed up and say, so what are you doing back here? You know, did you spend everything I gave you? Is that what you hear? Sure, he blew it, but this father, he was looking for a son. He wanted him back, and when he sees him, he runs to him, and he falls on him, he kisses him, he hugs him, he's so thankful. His love for his son is so great, he's so thankful his son is back. I mean, that's the kind of love God has for us. And verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, he didn't even let him finish. That was enough. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, here's this father, and he says, well, and there's some neat things about what this father did for his son here. First, he tells him, bring forth the best robe. Now, in the East, what a person wore had a lot to do with their social status. Now, obviously, this father was well-to-do. He had food and for the servants to spare. So here he's reinstating that son right back, welcoming him right back in. He gave him the best, and that robe could have been the former robe he wore, which, you know, in Powerful Abundant Living, we're taught about standing in state. We're sons, but when we break fellowship, see, we got to get back in fellowship. And here, he brings him back. He just says, give him that best robe. Put it back on him. He's putting him right back where he belongs, where he wants him to be in the family. And put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Now, that ring symbolizes authority. That ring symbolizes authority. And this son, where he went, he could represent the father. The power and authority of the father, the ring whom that belonged to. He had that. And then he put shoes on his feet. And in the East, the ring and the shoes represented not only a welcome back to the fellowship of the family, but it also represented a free man. And that's what he had his son. He wasn't a servant. He wasn't a slave. He was a free man within that family fellowship with all the rights and the privileges of one who is a son. But there's another part of this. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. That's a pretty right on emotion, right? And he would go, not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now, let me read a little more first. And verse 29, and he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And here's the son, and what does the son recognize? What is he looking at? He's looking at what this brother has done. He's looking at all of the errors he's made. And look what you're doing for him. I can't believe it. I mean, at least make him work. Make him a servant. Let him prove he's worthy of, you know, you dishing out all of this great stuff. You didn't even do this for me. But see, here you see the father's love extended, because this son is a little resentful. He's a little angry. And what's furthermore, he's even questioning his father's decision to forgive his brother. And on top of that, his brother didn't even spend what was his. But here he has all this anger and resentment, and he's hanging outside, and his father tells him, verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother, see, he's bringing it back, your brother, this your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. That's what we rejoice in. That's what we rejoice in. The only requirements, our only requirements for forgiveness and loving is the same as God's, where that it takes that genuine godly sorrow, that desire, and then the request. That's it. See, if people want confession, well, you know, there's places you can go, right? I'm sure a lot of you know where you can go if you feel the need to confess. But that's not what God wants from us. He made it quick, it's easy. Everything of God, it's right there for us. See, he's not holding back. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's the last place I'd like to go. And see, we're as the family of God, we're to follow an example of God. Not just when we need this in our lives to realize that we don't have to sit down and condemn ourselves and wonder if God really cares for us. Is he really, do I have to work? Because see, that's religion. That's the old man nature, that wanting to work for our righteousness for God. And God keeps saying, hey, I did it all for you. Just accept it. Take it. Reach for it. It's yours. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that's pretty cool, because I mean, when we all boil it down, we all have these incidents of our past, but we could boil it down to one word, you know, a few words. We were all dead. And in that, Christ, God loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us when we didn't even have spirit inside. How much more for us that are now his children? See, God wants to kill the fatted calf. Every time we blow it and we say, we realize it, we want to come back, God's forgiveness is there for us. It's quick, it's easy, and they party. Hey, this is my kid, he's back. And see, we got to party too. You know, we can either be like that resentful son who stands outside and, well, I don't know why they get this, blah, 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 blah. We can go in and, you know, grab your piece of the fatted calf before it's gone. So. See, in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So, you know, God's love and forgiveness is so mighty for us, and we need to walk in that love. We need to be very tender, very compassionate with the family. Outside of that, we have nothing but religion. We have nothing but an empty show. And, you know, well, God bless. You're all wonderful. I think the family is just fantastic. I'm thankful to be here with you, and amen. God bless.